Well, good day and welcome everyone to our final session, session 7 in our series, A Willing Heart. Now today we're going to continue that discussion and we're going to begin to talk about how this willingness and obedience is actually a choice that we can make and how the Lord has really empowered us to be able to make that choice correctly. So this, I believe, can be really encouraging so that we can step out here in future time and really accomplish so much more for Him than maybe we've even thought, as we are able to see His will for our life. Now, in the past two sessions, we were talking about walking in His footsteps, and we know that we've got a job to do, that He wants us, as the Master says in Matthew 24:46, He wants us as His servants, as His people, to be found so doing when He returns. We saw in 1 Peter 2:21, that following His example, we are to follow in His footsteps. Now, we each won't walk in exactly the same footstep, but there are aspects of what He did and as He walked that you're going to be called to. Each of us is going to have a calling that relates to that, but our callings may be different. So where we position our foot might be a slightly different thing. But the point is, we all are to follow in His footsteps, so that we can be that display of who He was on the earth and people could see His goodness today. And we're going to build on that. And we talked about how to do that. We're going to have to renew our mind to the Word of God. And we do that so we can prove His will. Now, we talked about, what does the word prove mean? It means to establish truth or something, or validity, something that is valid. And that's what a witness can do in a trial, to establish the truth as he had it revealed to him when he saw maybe something that had happened. But what do we take away from this? Again, we are the vehicle that the Lord has chosen. No other way does He have for people to see His goodness except through you and through me. We see that validated in Isaiah. We saw it in some verses in Psalms, but today I want to read Isaiah 61:9. It says, "We then, or the offspring, will be known amongst the nations, and our descendants in the midst of the people." So the choices we make now are going to have an influence. And you're going to see another verse that just tells us the choices we make today will influence our posterity, those who come after us. And here's the phrase that we pick up on. All who see them will recognize them, because they are the offspring whom the Lord has blessed. Now, that doesn't mean He's just blessed us with all kind of things. That means they see us as a special people. They see us at peace when everything around us is falling down and the rest of the people are just running, rampant and unrestrained. And so we have that calling, and we're enabled to do that in our union with Him. We saw that Jesus was talked about prophetically in Psalm 40. In verse 6 in that, it says, "You've given me the capacity to hear and obey." And He's talking about to be obedient to You fully versus having to go do what? Make burnt offering or sin sacrifices and offerings. And then He goes on and concludes this in verse 8 saying, "I delight to do Your will." And when I read that, this thought immediately comes to me. Is that the same way I view myself? Do I delight to do His will? And it then says, "And Your law was written in my heart." But this is to us too. Now, this is in the Old Testament, talking about Jesus when He came. But as we are born from above, doesn't the Lord say He's going to write His word in our heart? And so I just want you to see that the Spirit came on Jesus, the Word was in Him, and the same exact thing is true today for you and for me. So then the only question is my heart aligned with Jesus' heart as He came to serve the Father? And I want to read you John 16, verse 32, because this is really sets how we can do this. Jesus says that, and this is as He's going to the cross, He said, "You're all going to leave me. You're going to scatter. You're going to go to your own home." And then He says, "Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Now that's big, because you know we have that same promise. I will not, I will not ever leave you nor forsake you. He's given us the same Holy Spirit that is with us in that same way. And then in the next verse, he goes on, I'm telling you these things so that in me, which we know we are, you may have peace. Again, world's falling apart. We got our eyes on him, and joy is coming from us. Joy is different from happiness now. Happiness is how our body reacts as things make us gleeful versus joy, which gives us a sense of peace. And that is also very visible with us. He goes on to say, the reason I can do this is because in the world is tribulation, but don't worry about that. For what? For I have overcome the world. So let's get into this choice question in more detail. Obedience to his will, and that's my choice, that's going to be your choice. Deuteronomy 30th chapter, the Lord is setting forth through Moses his words to the people of Israel. And he says to them, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I have set before you life and death. You're going to have to choose between those two. Blessing and cursing. And then he goes on and says, therefore, choose life. Three elements here around making a choice. You got number one, life or death. You got number two, blessing or curse. And then he says, I'm going to tell you the answer. Choose life. Choose blessing. And he goes on and says that both you and your descendants may live. So we see this idea again of what we choose makes a difference. So that, now look at the sequence of this, so that you may love the Lord your God. That's first. And the second thing that comes is that you may obey his voice and that you may cling to him. So it's not that, oh God, I just try to cling to you, show me your love. No, it's you recognize his love and you won't let go. You want to obey because of his love for you. And that is so empowering if we can get that down in our heart. He goes on and says then, once we do those things, and it starts all with love, says he'll be your life and your length of days, and you may dwell in the land, I would say blessed and at peace, which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we see that what? That choice is mine, to believe in that loving kindness, his hesed in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, we love because he first loved us and gave himself for us. So it's really no different than what he did with the children of Israel. He said, you weren't a large people, you weren't really that special, but I made you special because I chose you. And you know, really, that's what a bondservant does. He makes a decision, I'm going to stay with this person and submit to him all of my days. And then the verse 20, where it talked about holding fast to him and doing that, as well as obedience just before that. But this word hold fast in Genesis is the same word as cleave about a man and a woman. And it's actually translated cleave in the King James of verse 20 of Deuteronomy 30. Now that word in the Hebrew means this, to cling or to adhere to. And it's translated to abide. Now that ought to spark a thought in you. To be joined together. That ought to also bring some light from Old Testament to what we have in the New Testament. To follow close to. We talk about willing and obedient, and you're going to be so close in the willing that as he breathes words out to you, you're going to feel that breath and hear intelligently, and then obedience is what that's translated from. And you're going to stick to. Now, all these words ought to remind you of the New Testament word, M-E-N-O, which is used for us, said, we will abide in him and he will abide in us. We will continue with him. And I would say, hopefully, it's a peaceful continuance with him. Now, John 14:15, and let me read this in the Weiss translation. In fact, I'm going to read it and verse 23 in a moment from that same translation. This says, if you are loving me with a divine and self-sacrificial love. Does it sound like that love has come into us and we're able to love back in the same way? Yes. And then it says, the commandments which are mine you will keep. So again, the sequence. We don't keep his commandments so we can know his love. We want to be obedient because he first loved us. We know that love. It produces a love back to him that wants us to be well-pleasing to his will, his desire for us. Yet, so often it's like people read this verse and say, if you do this, like God says, then your love for him is going to increase. And that's not what it says. Our love increases as we cling to him because he first loved us. Or we make a mess of something. We miss it, which is one definition from sin, to miss the mark. And then we immediately think, oh, I don't love God enough. We're looking at it from a negative circumstance if that's how we think about it. And so I want you to see clearly that's not his implication. We actually see down in verse 23, and again, same translation, if anyone has a habit of life, this is just how we walk, this is just how we do life, loving him with a divine and self-sacrificial love, there's that hesed type love, that agape type love that doesn't require something in return. It says, when we do that, my word will he keep. Now, that's basically what we just saw. We keep his word because of the love we have. But then look what this verse adds to it. My Father and I will love him, and we shall come to him, an abiding place with him we shall make for ourselves. Now, does that create an expectation then of what can happen when we, from our love, are obedient to his love? He's just there even closer. And what is that going to do? Fuel more love, fuel more obedience. But what did it start with? Me just willing to do it, and by gosh, I'm just going to be obedient? Or, thank you, Lord, for giving me that. There's nothing else I can do but be obedient because of your goodness to me. You gave yourself for me. Now, what happens, though, is we get focused on or hung up on trying to keep commandments. And when we do that, we're getting into works and we're not living and seeing his grace flowing to us because of that love. You know, when we miss it like that, how often do we find ourselves wallowing in condemnation? And I can be talking about this in relationship not of something that's we normally think of as a sin, although to know something and not walk in it is a sin. But I use the example of healing sometimes. There are times when I just realize I missed it totally. I didn't grasp what has already been given to me. And when that happens, more often than not, I'm tempted to feel condemnation or to take the condemnation that the devil is offering. But when I don't take it, when I just, Lord, I was wrong in that. And get back where? In that love that he has for me. And so John, 1 John 3:21 through 23. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Now, a lot of people can have that confidence or false confidence because they think they've done everything right. But when we know that this is coming and the condemnation is taken care of because of the love, then 22 says, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 23, and this commandment, this is his commandment, that we should believe, again, a choice, on the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another as he has given us commandments. Now, let's work this backwards from 23, that we should believe, we should have faith, we should trust in. And when we do, what follows? Love, going back. 22 says we can be confident. We can ask what we know his will is, for our lives, and it'll be given to us as we believe it. Now, we're approaching this from love, but I'm not earning it. I'm just receiving it by faith. And let me say, I'm going to talk in just a moment about being doers of the word. That's what faith is. Believing what he's told you as truth belongs to you and taking it and receiving it from his love, from his grace. That is being a doer of his word. But now back up to 21. We're hearing, we're doing, as we are abiding. And where are we abiding first? In him who is love. And we do so with no condemnation. Therefore, just as we saw with Jesus, he said, therefore I go, because the devil has nothing in me. We can say the same thing. So let's begin to close this with a discussion about being doers. What is different, if anything, about keeping his commandment and being a doer of the word or being a disciple? I don't really think you're going to see any. Those things fold together into one. James 1, 22 and 23, talking about who gets results. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. I don't want to be delusional about that. I don't want to just know the word and think, okay, it's coming, and I'm just going to wait on him giving it to me. No. I'm going to be aggressive in my faith and be a doer. I'm going to speak it. If he tells me something to do to position myself to receive it, I'm going to go do it. Isn't that what Mary said? Whatever he says, do it, when the water was turned into wine. 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. In other words, you're not seeing anything spiritual. You're walking solely in this physical realm, which is not where this love is manifesting to. Now, James 2 says something a little similar, and I don't want to get hung up on the last phrase. I'll read it to you, but I want to focus on, for time's sake, the first part. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says, I've got faith, but you don't see any results of it? There's no works of faith that are accomplished. You know, this is just natural. If we really know he loves us, we walk in his will, we cling to him, we get to know him more and more. We saw scriptures earlier that says we'll bear fruit. So this is what we ought to expect. In John 8, two verses, 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Now let's take that verse with what we just saw. If you abide in my words, you're my disciples. Why? Because when we're abiding in his word, abiding in love himself, we've been joined together with him, we will be what? Doers of the word. So being a doer is not the first thing. It follows from having the revelation of his will, hearing that word that comes alive in us, and we go out and take it, receive it as ours. Verse 32 says, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So many people today just say, well, oh, I see this truth. It's going to set me free. What have we seen? We need to act on it. We need to see it bear fruit in our lives. That's when the freedom comes. And I think so many people get hung up just by trying to memorize verses and believe because they memorized them and can say them that that's going to bring the results. But we have to speak them in faith. We have to act upon them in faith, meaning we are doing that before we see what we are believing for. The abiding here, meaning continue, I think is really important. It's holding fast when we don't see it right away. And that's really what makes us, I think, a disciple. One who hears, adheres. They hear and then adhere to the doctrine of another. In our case, our Lord Jesus. We do it because we love him. We respect his word, his commitment to his word. We know he hears us and he responds to us. You know, when we're doing that, we're being just like Jesus was to his Father. Jesus said, I don't heal these. It's the Father in me who does the work. So it's not about us and the work. Let me read you what some other translations say about abiding or continuing in the Word. Now, you know the Word is Jesus. You know Jesus is love. So all those three go together. One of the Jewish Bible says, if you are faithful to what I say, so believing, acting upon it, being faithful to it. Moffat says, if you abide by what I say. Now, that has a connotation of what? If I'm abiding by what someone tells me, I'm doing what I was instructed to do. I like this verse, this translation. It's the Hutton translation. It says, power up. If you will continually listen to my word and act upon it, then you will be my trained followers, my disciples. And what does verse 32 then say? Then you'll know the truth, and it'll set you free. Now, the Weiss translation adds this to it. You shall know the truth in an experiential way. You've experienced it by acting upon it, and it will set you free. So true revelation then implies hearing, intelligent hearing, which leads to obedience. And as we stay in his love, as we abide with him, then we will know the truth. That truth then will allow us to be set free, to have that same peace that Jesus has that he told us was ours. So the lesson we learn is let's don't focus first just on trying to be obedient. Let's be obedient after we experience his love. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And this is in New King James. And I'm reading this for this next phrase. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. He's going to reveal even more to us. He's going to disclose to us who he is. He's going to make things manifest in our lives that we need and that others need through us. Go back to John 14:31. But that the world may know that I love the Father. That's first. And as the Father gave me commandment, that's second. So I do. And we can be just like that. We can say, now let's arise and go from here and do what we've been told to do. You know, Jesus, if we think about it, was found so doing. He was doing the will of the Father, coming to bring all of this to us. Now we've got a choice. Do we believe it? Do we believe we can be truly disciples who cling to him because of that great love? We hear his commands. We do them out of a pure heart of love. And that's what I want you to see. Love is the starting point. It's not trying to force obedience. It's laying hold of him, his word, seeing him in us so that he manifests in us and through us to the world. That's what we're called to be so doing in the last days. I think that's the only thing that's holding Jesus back is to get more and more into heaven. Heaven full and hell empty, as has been said by others. Saints, when we are willing and obedient, then we're going to be found so doing.